Support for IPR comes from Orchestra Iowa, presenting the movie E.T., the Extraterrestrial on the big screen, accompanied by the Symphony Orchestra performing the score live, May 3rd and 4th at 7:30 at the Paramount. Tickets at orchestraiowa.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The pandemic has made life difficult for musicians, music venues, and for people who love live music. But during all of this turmoil, IPR's Studio One team has been coming up with a new way for listeners to connect to new music and to music they love. It's called Studio One All Access. You can hear it on IPR Studio One Saturdays from 1 to 4 and Sunday evenings from 7 to 10. This hour, I will talk with the hosts of the show, Mark Simmet, Cece Mitchell, and Tony Daner, and executive producer Lindsay Moon. Will also hear some excerpts from the show, and of course, a little bit of music, too. And to kick things off, executive producer Lindsay Moon is here. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, Charity.
And Tony Daner. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you both so much for being here. We'll bring Cece and Mark into the conversation in just a few minutes. But Lindsay, I want to start with you. Tell me about the genesis of this project.
Well, so the pandemic had many effects on all of us, including the live radio industry. There were shows that went off the air because of the pandemic or decided to cancel. And so we had a hole in our schedule on Saturdays. And we decided that the best thing to do with that would be to create a new flagship program for Studio One, where we'd really like to be the gathering place for what's happening with the music scene in the state. So we've got a lot of places in the Studio One schedule where you get to hear music from Iowa artists and regional artists, but we don't have a place where we really intentionally interview folks, talk to industry insiders, promoters, people that are working in venues. And so we wanted to create some space to do that, both on the air as well as online. So the idea to launch a show that would do just that came about, also featuring Iowa and regional music alongside. So we're very excited about All Access, which launched last week, officially on the air. It's got a lot of really cool segment pieces in it. We have a segment called Sound and Color that we'll hear about later from Cece Mitchell. She's really owning that segment. But there are so many cool features that are a part of this show where you get to meet people that make up the music industry in our state. It's fun to have a place to highlight all of them and the work that they're doing.
Yeah, well, and the music industry in our state is something I think for a lot of people, it may be a little bit invisible. And Mark, what you can help us understand a little bit more. I mean, really, we have a thriving music industry in Iowa, but there is the struggle of being in Iowa and in the Midwest.
Yeah, you know, people don't think of Iowa as a live music state, but it absolutely is. We got some wonderful venues here. The Englert in Iowa City, Gallagher Bluedorn in Cedar Falls, Hoyt Sherman in Des Moines. Smaller venues, Octopus in Cedar Falls, where Studio One is based, one of our favorite places. And yeah, it's just this is another opportunity for us to kind of shed some light on what they're doing as well.
And also, of course, on the musicians who are making music in Iowa, which is something that you've been doing on Studio One for a very long time. So, Mark, give me, or not Mark, sorry, Tony, give me.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Oh. I should know better. I do know better. Anyway, Tony, give me an idea of how this evolves the work that you and Mark and Cece have already been doing for so many years of introducing Iowa artists to your audience.
Well, you know, there's a lot of great music in Iowa. And I think when people hear local musician, I think, and this might just be me, I think a lot of people immediately go to cover bands. You know, they think of going down to their favorite restaurant and hearing somebody play Journey or
sure.
whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't like the idea of somebody like making their own music, like in their basement or something. It's like, oh, that's cute. That's cool that he's doing that, you know. But, you know, we have actual recording studios in Iowa. You know, people make actual records here that have a vision and a point of view and something to say. And they're not like, it's not like this is my ticket onto, you know, the big stage or whatever. They're putting their heads down and doing the best they can. And this is something that we're excited to be a part of and kind of giving voice to all these musicians who do have a lot to say with their music and also are really good at it.
Well, why don't we listen to just a segment from your conversation with Iowa artist Penny Peach to give us an idea of the kinds of things we'll hear on All Access. Let's listen.
We've been playing the song Bangs at Studio One for a while now, and the Brain Games EP finally came out this year. And I don't think I've gotten a chance to tell you that in the span of about a week, we got a couple emails from listeners saying, hey, what was that one song you played at this time? And both times it was Think More Deeply from Brain Games.
Oh, so, shoot!
Yeah, yeah, so awesome. So when did you record this EP?
A little bit before quarantine, and then hit it pretty hard during quarantine. And it took a long time because I'd never recorded anything before, and I didn't know what I wanted things to sound like, and I didn't know how recording worked. And then I became perfectionist, so then I, like, you know, wanted to tweak all the little doodads.
That's great. So Penny Peach, talking with you on Studio One's All Access. And does this give you just more of a forum to really get to know people in the music industry in Iowa?
Yes, it does. You know, I think the music speaks for itself, and I've always been a big believer in letting music speak for itself. But sometimes you do have to tell people, why are we playing this artist? You know, why do we think this needs to be on the air? So All Access, among many other things, is our opportunity to do that. You know, here's why we think Penny Peach should be on Studio One. Here's why we think Torres, who's our featured release artist for the week, here's why we think this is an important record that people need to know about.
Well, and I kind of get the sense that a lot of the things that have been going on behind the scenes at Studio One are becoming part of the show. I mean, Lindsay, maybe you can give us some insight into this, because, of course, Tony and Mark and Cece are always talking with each other and collaborating. But usually on the air, we hear one at a time. So does this kind of bring that dynamic to the fore?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we'll hear this coming up in segment three today. Like, at the end of the show, we're going to listen to a featured release segment that introduces listeners to Yola, who I'm so obsessed with right now. She is so good. If you've not listened to Yola, go do that. But it, like, hearing, like, Mark, Cece, and Tony all have different personal favorite bands, have different life experiences, are at different ages. And it's fun for me as a listener to hear them, like, talk back and forth about why they like something. And like, they've all got really interesting perspectives and point out different things about songs that I may not have thought of. And I love this new show because I think that one of the things I love about NPR, we all love about public radio, is that you can walk away saying, oh my gosh, did you know? And this new show, All Access, does that for both regional artists, national touring acts, and especially Iowa bands that are making original music. I think it's fun to be able to go to a show and take somebody with you and say, oh my gosh, did you know X, Y, and Z about this artist? I heard it on Studio One. So we've done a great job of doing that in the state with news, and we're trying to do it more with music now with All Access. The other thing that I think is fun about Artist of the Month is that this is not just an on-air show. All Access is really a test at being a multimedia program. So we've got a big presence on Instagram. The Artist of the Month series, Tony's been hosting on YouTube, which has been really fun. Like, Penny Peach had a really cute background when she talked with us, and some of those videos have so much personality. So, like, you get an artist in a more comfortable space than up on stage where they're being their persona. And so it's just a really nice, like, behind-the-scenes look at, like, the people that are really driving the artistic community that makes up the local and original music scene here in the state.
It feels like, as music broadcasters, you're pulled in all of these different directions with so much social media and so many different outlets. And it feels like you're telling me that this show is bringing all of those elements back together on the radio in addition to all of those other channels that you're exploring.
Yeah, so it kind of turns it on its head. So we'll be creating things for, you know, YouTube and Instagram that will find themselves in a whole built-out hour on the radio. We're also hoping to launch, well, we are not hoping, we are going to be launching a partnering podcast that goes along with the show later this year. So once a week, you'll be able to download the All Access podcast, get introduced to an Iowa act, a national act, and a classic act that we think that you'll love, which just for, I mean, the music industry in terms of streaming and what's happening online has evolved light years during the pandemic. And so we really want to be a part of that renaissance and work with Iowa musicians to continue to build and move forward, because we've got an opportunity here, even though it's been a very hard year. So we're hoping to do that with All Access.
And you're also planning to launch a newsletter along with this as well?
We are, yes. Yep. So we'll have a e-newsletter that we're hoping to use to recommend concerts that will be happening, to distribute some of the feature stories that we're working on with Artist of the Month, and Sound and Color, music news, things like that. And we're also working on the relaunch of Studio One Underground, which we're going to rebrand as All Access Live. And so more information about that to come, because we are finishing up booking the 2022 series, which I'm very excited about.
What is an exciting time, but also a scary time at this point in the pandemic to be working on that. I can only imagine how frustrating it's been over the last year and a half to see show after show after show canceled and then things scheduled and then canceled again, or yeah. having to make some hard decisions. Does it feel like, I mean, I know we've had a summer festival season, you know, people have been able to perform outside. Does it feel like things are really starting again?
I think so. I hope so. I mean, there's not going to be a safety net for these venues if things have to shut down again. So I think it's really important for people to get vaccinated and to do what they need to do to safely attend indoor shows. The scene has had a difficult time in the last year, but there are some absolutely amazing promoters that have kept it alive and have organized. We've got folks in Iowa that are on the National Independent Venue Association board. And so there's been a real push by everyone who works in this industry to keep things going. And I hope to see that come back stronger in 2022. And keep that momentum building.
I'm sure that some places have closed. Many places have struggled. Are you hearing from a lot of people, Tony, that you've interacted with over the years about this sort of being a make or break moment as people are trying to come back?
You know, yes, I have. We did lose the Mill in Iowa City over the past, which was just a tragic loss. And I have talked to some musicians who were able to stay afloat through their day jobs. Others weren't so lucky. I do know some people whose day jobs are in the performing arts and they struggled there as well. I don't know of any bands who just stopped during the pandemic, which is good. I'm glad. Glad to see people sticking with it. But yeah, it's been difficult.
Well, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. This hour, we're getting a preview of the new Iowa Public One All Access. It's a new music show on Saturdays from 1 to 4 and Sunday evenings from 7 to 10. And we're going to play out here with Think More Deeply by Penny Peach. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR comes from Orchestra Iowa, presenting the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial on the big screen, accompanied by the Symphony Orchestra performing the score live, May 3rd and 4th at 7:30 at the Paramount. Tickets at orchestraiowa.com.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are getting a preview of the new Iowa Public Radio Studio One show, All Access, Saturdays from 1 to 4 and Sunday evenings from 7 to 10. Coming up in just about 15 minutes, we will just listen to some of the show. But with me now are the three hosts of the show. Joining us, Mark Simmet. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, Charity.
And Cece Mitchell. Hello, Cece.
Hey, Charity.
Tony Daner is still with us, along with executive producer Lindsay Moon. So I want to turn to you, Mark and Cece, to talk a little bit about, I can imagine that when Lindsay started to come up with the idea for this project, when all of you started workshopping it and coming up with all of these ideas, it must have been a little overwhelming to think about producing a 3-hour show. Mark, what was your reaction?
What you find out is there are a lot of details that have to be attended to. And, you know, we've kind of eased into this over the past several weeks. You know, we started out kind of with a Saturday afternoon 2-hour show and retained Gas Money, our local music show, at 1 o'clock. And then just recently turned it into a 3-hour show. We've introduced segments and, you know, just kind of gradually moving along, seeing what the problems and the challenges are of doing a show like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and of course, you've been doing the kinds of things that you're doing on All Access for a very long time. Mark, is there something about doing this show that gives you the opportunity to do something maybe you've been wanting to do for a long time?
Yes, of course. Talking on the air with my fellow hosts, you know, this is, other than fundraising time, you know, we never really had the opportunity to talk to each other on the air. And, you know, it's a tremendous amount of fun. It's, you know, there's a certain degree of the unexpected that can come up. And it's a great interaction between the three of us. It's been a lot of fun to do that. Always great to hear the final result. And that is the biggest thing that, for me, that I'm finding to be really rewarding about this show.
Yeah, well, and listening to the show, I do feel like I'm sort of eavesdropping, like I get to nerd out with Mark, Cece, and Tony. Cece, what are you most excited about with this project?
I'm actually really excited about this segment that I have been able to spearhead. It's been an idea of mine for a while, and thankfully, with the addition of this new show, we've actually had the time to produce it and air it, which has been awesome. It's called Sound and Color. It's named after an Alabama Shakes song, and it really takes a deep dive into the communities and people of color around Iowa, the people that make our music scene great.
Well, and we have a little bit of an excerpt from Sound and Color. Why don't we listen in a little bit, and then we can talk more about this segment, Sound and Color, from Studio One's All Access.
This year, in lieu of their usual 8035 music festival, the Des Moines Music Coalition organized Riverview in order to celebrate the Highland Park and Oak Park neighborhoods of Des Moines, also known as the North Side. I had the opportunity to chat with board president and Northside resident, Cuckoo Saw, about how this festival came to be.
So on 835, the focus had been just bringing the biggest names into Des Moines and just a huge music festival. But with this, we're a little bit more deliberate on the community. Like one of the things that we realized as an organization, just going through the summer change we saw last year after the George Floyd murders and the protests, was how are our actions impacting equity? And we realized that a lot of our programming is concentrated in the downtown area. The downtown area has pretty specific demographics where we're like, okay, how do we provide more programming to people not in the downtown area? How do we make our programming a little more equitable? And the conscious decision was made to push out the downtown, push out into our neighborhoods, push out into our diverse neighborhoods and our underserved neighborhoods, a lot of times unheard neighborhoods.
All right, that's just a little excerpt from the new segment Sound and Color from IPR Studio One All Access. And Cece, it feels like this is just a wonderful opportunity to talk about things that maybe you just didn't have the space to talk about on Studio One in the past, an opportunity to really dive deep with people about some of the things that are most important to them.
Yes, it's been wonderful to really, so when we get to introduce Iowa artists on the air, we talk about, you know, the music and their inspiration for their music, and it's wonderful. But with taking a deep dive into these profiles, I'm really able to talk about these people and ask them about who they are and what really goes into their music, and that's been wonderful. I'm really excited to continue that with the new show.
Absolutely. And I was thinking earlier, Lindsay, when you were talking about finding out some of the things about, you know, the artist of the month and getting to know musicians in a more intimate way. I mean, that deepens your relationship with the music, too.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Cece did that Sound and Color sample that we just listened to about the Riverview Music Festival. She talked to Space, who performed on that stage, who grew up over in that part of Des Moines and is a mom and is raising her kids over there right now. We also heard from Dang Felton, who's a singer-songwriter from Des Moines, who also loves to cook. So it was like really fun to get, like, I hear his music differently now, knowing that he's somebody who's like very interested in cooking and, you know, it's different when you hear a song from somebody that you feel like you know.
Right.
You know, because some songs like just hit us and you feel like you already know the person. But if you know a little bit more about them, it just feels really personal. And I love the fact that this show like is really helping me connect with music in a really different way and feel connected to the artistic community in the state in a really different way. It's been a very isolating year for a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of artists like have mental health stuff. And this show has just made me feel plugged in and connected to that community in a really amazing way. I really hope it does that for other people that listen to it. And I hope that we can continue to grow around that. So as live music is coming back, the other thing that I wanted to mention, we also have launched a new website that goes along with the show. So if you go to iowapublicradio.org/studio1 and you can spell out Studio One, or you can just type in studio and the number one, both will take you there. If you go to that website, you've got a new music video that we're featuring every single day from a different artist that's being distributed through the NPR Live Sessions Music Video Collaborative. There's an All Iowa Live show calendar on there. So there's one feed that pulls in live music happening at some of these venues that Tony mentioned. We're still working on building that, but for right now, there are about a dozen venues that are in there. And there's also an All Iowa Record Store directory. So if you bought a turntable over the pandemic, which we know that turntable sales skyrocketed in 2020. So if you're new to vinyl, I'm really excited that this show, we're also going to visit record stores in the state. We already went to Vinyl Cup in Des Moines. And you can go look and see where the great places are to go shop for records in the state on there as well. So lots of pieces with this program.
Very cool. And you know, after a year and a half of people dealing with the pandemic and, of course, that quarantine period where people were really stuck at home for a while, Mark, how did that influence what was getting released during that time?
Well, there was a definite slowdown, you know, in March of 2020. Initially, music definitely slowed down and some big projects were put on hold. Because, you know, artists couldn't tour behind them, and it all just kind of was like a domino effect. Everything slowed down tremendously. Since then, you know, I think artists have figured out how to do it. I talked to Ani DeFranco recently. We did an interview with her that we aired, and she was talking about making her latest album and really described it in the most logical way. You know, she and another musician put down the basic tracks, and then other artists were in other studios doing their parts. Everybody was socially distanced and so on and so forth. And the final product sounds great. So artists are figuring out how to do it now.
Yeah. Does it feel like there's a whole bunch of music just behind the dam waiting to break over you at this point?
It did feel like that. And, you know, it hasn't been. We'll see what happens here in the fall. Fall is usually a big time of the year for new releases. And so far, there has not been like all of a sudden the dam breaks and you get all this music coming in. But actually, it feels rather normal right now.
Normal. That's an interesting way to describe it.
Well, we get a lot of music. By that, I mean we get a lot of music sent to us.
Okay.
And there's been no change in that.
All right. Lindsay, do things feel normal from your perspective in the music industry in Iowa right now?
Man, I don't know. I don't know that I don't know that I have enough experience to speak to that.
Well, I feel like I just want to return to this thought because I want to hear from all three of you together thinking about it. It does feel like listening to the show that I get a little bit of a peek behind the scenes at Studio One, probably conversations that you guys have been having with each other for years now. As a listener, I get to listen in on. Tony, does it feel like you're bringing this into the spotlight?
You know, it actually does. We've been joking for years. Like, we'll just be hanging out in the record library talking about some of the latest releases. And one of us will say, we really should just bring in a recorder and just record one of these conversations sometimes. Now we actually get to do it. We have to watch our mouths a little bit. But, you know, what you hear on the radio is very, very similar to what you might hear us chatting about just in the record library, in the hall, sending each other on Slack, you know.
Nice.
I think it's a very authentic representation of the three of us.
Well, Cece, tell me about that experience of taking some of those conversations that you've always been having and then putting them on the radio. And in one sense, for me, it feels like kind of what drew all three of you into this business in the first place, this deep love for music and nerdiness, that now I get to share in that, too. What are your thoughts, Cece?
Oh, it has been so wonderful. And actually, you know, I'm the youngest person here, and some of these classic tracks artists I've never even heard of. So it's even been educational for me. I get to watch a music documentary outside and do research and come here and talk about what I've learned with my co-hosts. And it's just a wonderful experience. And it's been wonderful working in this office. And I'm so glad that we're all able to bring the listener into that experience.
Well, and there's another segment of the show called Overtone that kind of demonstrates how, of course, the music industry doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's part of the rest of the world as well. And Lindsay, I know that this is a part of the show that you've been really involved with. Can you describe it for us?
So given when everything shut down, there was a lot of there was a lot of resources being published for folks that like needed access to emergency funds for jobs. There was a lot of movement going on from the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, as well as all the organizing taking place with the National Independent Venue Association and the Save Our Stages movement to try and support venues and artists. I mean, like a lot of people that work in the music industry are freelance, don't have health insurance. This was a very difficult time.
Yeah.
If that was your full-time job. And so we didn't really have a way to cover that news when it was all happening. And so Overtone is kind of the way that we're going to continue to follow like the business side of the music industry when it comes to like returning to like the other Overtone segment. So far, we talked with Dr. Melanie Wellington from the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics about how crowded is too crowded when you go to a show indoors. What are the questions you should be asking? Things like that.
Yeah, and I think so many music fans right now are like, I want to support this local artist. I want to support this local venue, but I don't know if it's the responsible thing to do,
yeah,
to go.
Exactly. So I hope that Overtone is like a segment of the show that can help encourage people to feel safe, trying to demystify what promoters are making decisions based on for people to go to concerts right now. Like I am like live and die by the live music industry. I love going out to see shows, but I've got, you know, people in my family that are immunocompromised right now. And so it's tricky. It's a rock and a hard place to be between. So I hope that Overtone can continue to follow some of that business news and also provide some health news as it's focused specifically on concert going and venues.
All right. Well, let's listen to just a little bit of Overtone.
If I wanted to go to an indoor show and I have been vaccinated and my household has been vaccinated, how crowded is too crowded? What's a way to make an assessment about that?
Oh boy, that's a tough one, right? Because a lot of it's sort of depend on what transmission is happening in the community right then. There's a very nice risk finder tool. It's the University of Georgia Gathering Risk. It's an online tool. If you just search Georgia Gathering Risk, it'll come up and you can put in there how many people are going to be at the event. And then you can scroll in on where it color codes all the counties in the US. And what it does is it puts in the likelihood that somebody at the event will be infectious.
So that's just a little bit of Overtone. Definitely you are asking questions there, Lindsay, that everybody's asking right now.
Yeah, and like Overtone as a segment, I hope is a news you can use piece of All Access. So, you know, we publish some information about expectations around Hinterland, Riverview in terms of COVID-19, and hope to continue to do that through the rest of the year. As long as it's needed, there's always business news about the music industry.
Right.
It is a business after
Hopefully
all.
Hopefully it will become less about COVID in the very near future.
I hope so. The other thing that I'm really excited about as a part of that and some of this is that I love working on that segment. I have a lot on my plate, so it's not as though I can own that and forever be the producer and host for it. So I am looking for contributors to help us want to pitch ideas, folks that are living in different parts of the state. I'm based in Des Moines, and so it would be great to be able to collaborate with somebody that lives in the Quad Cities, for example. So if you're listening and you've been interested in contributing to music news or coverage in the state, please email artsnews@iowapublicradio.org.
Well, and just to echo that, and Mark, I'll let you weigh in on this. Of course, you're also always looking for new Iowa artists, and I know Iowa artists are always looking for you. So if somebody's listening right now and they're like, oh, I really want Mark Simmet to listen to this track, what do people do?
What do people do to get heard?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting how things evolve. There are still a couple of record labels in Iowa that do put out music, but more and more, of course, people are doing it on their own. And we are seeing a lot of instances of people sending us one song as opposed to an entire album or even an EP of, you know, four or five songs. So that's kind of a trend. And a lot of it is now coming in digitally, you know, in the form of emails with links. It's never been easier to get your music out there. And we always encourage Iowa musicians to send us your stuff. And many, many Iowa musicians are, and yet barely a day goes by and we don't hear from somebody that we are not familiar with. So it's a healthy music scene in Iowa, I think.
We also want to debut Iowa artist music on All Access. So, like, if you want to work with us and you want some promotion around the new album, we'll make a huge deal about it online. Send us the record. Let us listen to it. And we'll give it airplay on Iowa Public Radio before you drop it online. We did that with Dickie here recently for his new single, and it was fantastic. So if you are an Iowa artist, send us your music.
Well, this is such an exciting time, and I can't wait to hear more of it. I also feel a little bit tired just thinking about all of the incredible energy that all of you guys are pouring into this. So thank you so much for being here today and for telling us about the show. Tony Daner, thanks.
Thank you.
Lindsay Moon, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mark Simmet, thank you.
My pleasure, Charity.
And Cece Mitchell, thank you so much.
Thanks, Charity.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we will listen in on Studio One All Access. We'll get a little taste of what it's like to get to know the artist of the month. And no, it's not the artist of the month. It's a new release. That's what it is. That's what we're going to do in just a moment here on Iowa Public Radio. And we'll go out here with a little bit of space.
Well, it's touched back now. And I was thinking happiness is what I found. Well, as long as it takes, and I make my mission, keep a smile on your face to say, yeah, I'm all in.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're getting a preview of Studio One All Access, a new music show from Iowa Public Radio, Saturdays from 1 to 4 and Sunday evenings from 7 to 10. And what better way to learn about a new show than to listen to it? Here's what it sounds like when Tony, Mark, and Cece take a deep dive into a new release.
Well, it's time now to talk about our featured release album for the coming week on Studio One Tracks. I'm Mark Simmet with Cece Mitchell and Tony Daner. We have this week the new album from Yola. It's her second full-length album. It's called Stand For Myself, just like her debut full-length album produced by Dan Auerbach. Yola, born in Bristol, England, and made some music in England before that first album that she made in Nashville with Dan Auerbach a few years back. And that worked out so well that the second album now out, also working out quite well, actually, Stand For Myself from Yola.
Yola was more or less forced to permanently relocate to Nashville as a result of the pandemic. Like you said, Mark, she grew up in Bristol, England, grew up very poor, and her family actually discouraged her from going into music, as you might expect parents to do. It's not a great way to make a living, but if you can make it work, then hey, that's awesome. She worked as a featured or guest vocalist with a lot of bands, including the great Massive Attack. Was in a band for a while called Phantom Limb. That band lasted about 8 years, and they put out a couple of records. So she's not a overnight success story. She's been at it a long time, working very hard at making a go of it as a professional musician. Phantom Limb disbanded in 2012, and about a year from that, Yola's mother passed away. That was in 2013. So a hiatus turned into a longer hiatus, and that's where Yola's solo music career came out of, is that hiatus.
I love Yola's music. I absolutely love this album. I don't think there's a song on the album that I dislike. I think it's bangers all throughout. And Yola was one of my favorite acts that we recently saw at the Hinterland Music Festival this past summer. One of my favorite songs from the album that she played there was the track Starlight. I just think that it's so catchy and dreamy and wonderful. Because
dreamy is a perfect word for that song, Starlight. You've heard people say this song made me cry or whatever. This song literally makes me cry when I get to the chorus, actual tears. It's just so beautiful.
So at Hinterland, I did not see her set. Did she recreate the sound of the record, or was it different?
You know, it was pretty close to the sound of it. It definitely sounded like a live performance. It's not one of those seeing a band on morning TV or whatever. It sounds exactly like the record. It was amazing. No, this was a well-performed set. And here's a fun tidbit for the music dorks out there, folks like us. Her guitar player for that set was Andy Stack, who you might know from Y Oak. And is it Joy Arrow?
Is that his?
Yep, Andy Stack is a well-known figure in indie rock. And here he is playing with Yola.
In St. Charles, of all places.
Well, the thing about both of the albums that Yola has done that really stands out is they're just so well produced, and you get the impression that some of the best session musicians that can be found in Nashville played on the album. Mm-hmm. Not only the musicians, but also co-writers that all worked with Yola and Dan Auerbach. I don't think there's a single song on the new album that doesn't have three people listed as having written it. And that's very deliberate. Yola has said that working with Dan Auerbach was a true collaboration, meaning that she contributed probably the initial song idea, maybe not all of them. Dan Auerbach would contribute his ideas, and then there would be another writer that would also add something to it. And that might not always work out really well, but I think in this case, it's just a great listen. Both the albums are. The new one is Stand For Myself. And yeah, I like all the songs. One of them, not quite as much.
Oh.
There's a song that it's a bit of a departure for Yola, I think, from her country soul sound. And it's like a light disco song called Dancing Away in Tears.
Song, Mark. I'm sorry. I think I've already played it on tracks before. I think what's so interesting about this album, and we can definitely get into this about what genre it is, but it is not so Americana. It's not just Americana. It does deviate from that. And I liked it. So sorry, Mark. I thought it was good.
That's okay. I didn't hate it. It just kind of struck me like, oh, hey, wait, what's this? Because there's nothing else quite like it on the album that's quite that dancey. But it's not dancey in a real heavy way. It is really like light disco song, if there is such a thing. It's just fascinating always to me when a British person with, I suppose, a British accent comes over to America and does an Americana album.
Right. So what do we think the rest of this album is? What is the genre? Who is Yola? I mean, we know who Yola is. What is Yola?
Yeah, you know, my answer to what genre of music is this is typically who cares. If it sounds good, just enjoy it. But as the music professional here, yeah, we should probably be in the business of picking this apart a little bit, seeing what makes it tick. I was expecting something more along the lines of Yola's excellent debut album. That was in my top 10 of 2019. This one will probably be top 5. Sounds like I might have to arm wrestle CC for it. We'll see what happens there. I heard some 80s soul. I heard a little bit of disco. And yeah, I did hear some Americana elements from her past album. There's some pedal steel guitars here.
My roommate came in to the room when I was listening to this earlier today. And she was like, oh, what are you listening to? I told her that she would love it because I loved it. And then she asked me what kind of music it was. And that's always the hardest question, with especially with albums like this, like Ben's genre. But I said it was like Western soul.
because it's Western in nature, but it's definitely soul and maybe a little bit of light disco.
Okay, on one song.
On one song.
All right, well, here's one that I did like, a track called Be My Friend, which kind of struck me as being an anthem, like a churchy anthem, and features, to my surprise, I did not realize this, Brandi Carlile on background vocals.
Hmm, cool.
Made an appearance on the High Women album. The title track, High Women, a rewrite of the classic song, The Highwaymen. Yola actually takes the fourth verse on that song.
I was a freedom rider when we thought the South had won. Virginia in the spring of 61. I sat down on the Greyhound that was bound for Mississippi. My mother asked me if that ride was worth my life. And when the shots rang out, I never heard the sound. But I am still around.
And I'll take that ride again and again and again and again and again.
And that was kind of intended. This is getting a little too into High Women trivia here, but that was intended to be like a rotating fourth spot that Maren Morris now appears to be occupying permanently. But Yola definitely is in that more evidence of her Americana leanings there, having Brandi Carlile appear in her music.
She's in.
Yep.
Another track I liked was Whatever You Want, which sounded to me like a lost hit from the 1970s. Whatever you want, baby. Whatever you want, baby, is too much for me, maybe, is the lyric. A lot of bands these days just really have a secret admiration for music that was on the radio in the 70s that they've heard on some old compilation somewhere. And it's like, let's do that. Because that, you know, you don't hear that now. So Whatever You Want sounded that way to me. There's other highlights on the album, many actually. There's one song that's got prominent electric guitar, Tony, that I noticed. Stand For Myself.
I noticed that too, and I'm pretty sure I wrote down electric guitar on there. For Myself is a song that speaks for itself. We don't have to guess what Yola is singing about on that song. One that did catch my ear that I actually did have to do a little bit of digging to find out what she's referring to is Break the Bough. Early in the song, she talks about dream of mangoes on the tree, sugar cane, and shoeless feet. So that made me start wondering, okay, where do mangoes and sugar cane grow together?
Break the bough. Fall into the deepest sleep. Dream of
And it turns out this song is about her mom. She started writing this song in 2013, along with several of the other songs in this album, as it turns out. She's been working on some of these for years. And the song is referring to her mom's upbringing in Barbados.
Oh, that's cool.
And this is also a super danceable song, so.
But not disco.
No.
Not disco.
Okay. And how about Diamond Studded Shoes?
Yeah, I like
thought,
that one.
That is a great song.
You and I are trying. We don't get to decide when the man comes for our paycheck. Won't you tell me it'll be all right? We are the rich ones. Some of us are better yet by diamond studded shoes with our taxes. Anything to keep us divided. You know it is. We know it is. We know it is. We know it is. It ain't gonna turn out.
Just a great song. I mean, this entire album is so fun to listen to. It just moves along so nicely. And I think most of the lyrics are pretty direct.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a direct reference that you're not sure what she's referring to. But while she's singing it, it's not like you're thinking, oh, what are you talking about? I think she really puts a lot of care into her songwriting and, of course, her singing as well. One reference that occurred to me, and I don't know if this would occur to a lot of people, there's this album that is often thought of as being one of the great albums of all time, and I never could quite understand it. It came out in the 1960s. It's called Dusty in Memphis. I don't know if anybody knows that one. Dusty Springfield is the artist there, also from England, also came over to America and recorded not in Nashville, but in Memphis with great session players and came up with something really special. And just for no particular reason, this latest Yola album reminded me of that, not because of the facts of the case, but just the sound of it. It's just got a really appealing sound.
Well, I know that this album will be making somebody's list at the end of the year. I don't know if it's going to be me or Tony. We'll fight for it, but it'll make another list.
Staring daggers at each other right now. Stay tuned.
Yes.
Answers coming in December.
And the album is Yola, Stand For Myself. It's our featured release this week on Trax. I'm Mark Simmet with Tony Daner and CeCe Mitchell.
This hour, we've been getting a preview of Studio One All Access, a new music show from Iowa Public Radio on IPR's Studio One Saturdays from 1 to 4 and Sunday evenings from 7 to 10. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.
Everyone went home, the shadow.